Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. It's going to be a short one tonight. I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I'm going to give somewhat of a quick review of the CZW show, the March CZW show, high stakes, as it were. I'll do that in a little bit. Like I said, it's going to be kind of short, even review-wise. I'll go into that in a little bit. But, first I think, just random stuff, life, whatever. Definitely extremely happy. We finally got the truck back, for those who've, listened over the past couple weeks, months even. Our truck broke. Pretty much the engine was shot after, 5 months of having it. So, pretty bad. Ended up having to pay like another $2,500, they said it would be like a 3-4 day project. It ended up being like a week, more than a week, I should say. Pretty rough. So we finally got it back on Sunday, which is, really, really good to have the transportation back, which means Monday I got back to the gym, which I was much, much anticipating. I went in there with the fucking insane mentality. Like, this is what I've been, working off of, just, physically and going into my workouts, even like the home stuff I was doing, really, really kicking it up a notch and really, trying to push myself and just really trying to push and push and push. And I just want to see how far I could go. And just every time, just get every bit of the workout that I can, regardless of what I'm doing, do it to the fullest. And so I've been really, wanting to get back to the gym to really apply that and turn it up. And I did. Monday I went back. And, back again last night as well. Like, my entire upper body is so sore, it's ridiculous. It's fucking great. you know, great feeling knowing that I just beat the shit out of all of this stuff. So just going to continue to keep at it and just see how far I could take myself from there. Going back to the gym, definitely, you know, great thing. But obviously going back to the gym, you also see, you know, all these gym fails and these people who just, I mean, it just amazes you. Every time you go into the gym, you see more and more people who either don't belong there or if they do, I don't know what they belong doing, but it's just, it's amazing some of the shit you see in the gym. So a couple examples of this were in just prime form on Monday. Honestly, Tuesday wasn't as bad as Monday. Monday was some prime shit right there. It started out where I was, where was I? I was over at the, yeah, that's right. I did chest and triceps and abs and shit on, pretty much do abs every day, but chest and triceps on Monday. So I was doing bench. I was over at the bench, and it was like the last bench. After that bench is like the leg machine, you know, like the leg press thing. So I was there, and I see out of the corner of my eye, this fucking dude is pulling a bench. And I'm like, where the fuck is he going with this bench? Dude wedges it somewhat like between the last bench that I was using and the leg press machine. It's the only leg press machine in there, too. More so up against the leg press machine. So, like, there was zero chance that anyone could use that shit. If they did, they'd break his stupid head, and I wish they would have. But, so he's got this fucking bench that's, like, pretty much touching the leg press machine. Like, there's a whole row, you know, I go to Planet Fitness. I know, you know, a lot of people have, you know, issues with them and this and that. And, you know, to a certain extent I do too, but, you know, it was definitely my first attempt at belonging to a gym and this and that. And as, you know, the more serious I get and the more I progress, the more, you know, I'm thinking more and more like a different gym might be a better look for me. But at least for now, this is still where I'm at, all right? So anyway, further down, you know, on in Planet Fitness, you got your benches or squat racks. You know, they work for both or whatever. And I think you got like four of those. And the leg machine at the end. Well, on the other side of all the benches is you got your, you know, your bent like curl bars and then your straight bars or whatever for curls or whatever you're doing. And then you got just the benches and then, you know, they got the wheels on them so you can't move them or whatever, but there's just a row, there's just like probably like eight benches or something like that that you could do whatever with them, move them around, whatever. And, there's, like, I look down because the first thing I do is, like, maybe he got no space anywhere else in this motherfucking gym to go, and this is why he's fucking wedging himself into the leg machine to do something with this fucking bench. So I look down, and there's, like, three of them shits open, not including the one that he's dragging all over the fucking gym for no reason. So I'm just looking like, this motherfucker, man, this dude's retarded. And, so he does, I don't even know what the fuck he was doing there because that shit didn't last long. Then he drags his shit over, and, you know, as I'm rounding out, like, my whole bench thing, the next thing I wanted to do is, the cables, you know, like the, I think they're flies or whatever you want to call them, but, like, the cables, and, you know, they have two sets of them that have one on each side, so you could do, like, the, you know, pull them together, chest flies or whatever. I'm no personal trainer, so I don't know, you know, technical terms and all that shit, but, so they got those right there, right? And then on the other side of that, you have, like, your pull-down bars, and then they have the other ones where you sit down and you can pull them down. And then they have, like, the, you know, rowing type on the other side. So, you know, they're four-sided, you know, the whole, you know, pull-down joint with the weights and the cables and shit. So this dude wheels that shit over there in between the two fucking cables. This fucking dude lays down, and he starts pulling the fucking cables towards him and shit over there, as if dumbbells wouldn't do the same shit that he's doing. And he's doing it awkward as hell. Like, he's got the wires all sorts of up high, and he's trying to do these fucking cables. And I'm just looking at this motherfucker shaking my head like, this is some shit right here. And he he looked like he thought he knew what he was doing, but, like, you could tell there was some, like, unsurety there. You know what I mean? Like, he finished doing what he was doing. He kind of looked around like he was waiting for someone to give him, like, dude, don't stop doing that. So then, like, he's got the bench in the middle of there. And like I said, I wanted to use those two cables and shit for, I don't know what normal people use them for and shit, or at least one of the things that normal people use them for. And because I've never seen someone bring a bench over there. I mean, maybe it happens. Maybe some people have legit reasons to use the bench over there, but I never seen the shit before. So, again, I'm no personal trainer, so there's a million people that do shit much, much more legit than I do. So, you know, far be it by me to, like, you know, give some kind of lesson or preach on some kind of, you know, workout routine or something like that, because I don't know shit as far as I'm concerned. So, but that shit looked weird as hell, and it definitely didn't look beneficial to whatever he's trying to do. So then he does that. Now he's got the bench in the middle of the thing. So now, like I said, I want to use those fucking cables. This dude turns now, and he's got the bench just sitting behind him doing nothing. And now he's doing pull-downs on one of the two fucking joints with two open fucking pull-downs on the other side. Like, if he just moved his stupid ass around, move the fucking bench out of the way, he could do pull-downs until he's fucking dead, which I hope would be soon after he started. And instead, he's doing fucking pull-downs here on one of the two sides that line up with each other. So I'm just like, this motherfucker. So finally, I think finally he gets done with that. Pretty sure he was done with that by the time I got in there and I did what I was going to do. And after I get done with that, I want to do pull downs, but I want to do them with the rope. You know, they have like the rope with the knots at the end. And there was only one of those, like, amongst all the different pull down things. There was a couple of bars and shit, but I want to use the rope. And these two dudes were just, you know, using the shit. And these motherfuckers were just running like this. I don't know what the fuck their actual goal was. I don't know, like, because, I mean, they had some decent weight on there. So I don't know if, like, they work out other days but then just show up there to talk to each other about how they work out on other days. But, like, that day, they weren't doing a whole lot of shit. One of them would hold the ropes and then just, you know, they're just locking eyes with each other, like this homosexual gathering and shit in the gym. And one of them was just, like, just holding on to the ropes and just, you know, fucking gazing at the other dude while they chat about what. I don't fucking know because I got my earphones in and shit, and I'm just waiting for that shit. And then you would wait, like, a minute or two, and then the fucking dude would do, like 3 reps or 4 reps tops. And then the other dude would fucking grab the ropes and just fucking stand there holding the ropes, looking at his boy and shit, and chatting and chatting and chatting. Fucking chatting and chatting and chatting. Like, any, like, rests you take it between sets weren't anywhere near as long as what the fuck these dudes were stopping and fucking chatting about. So I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Again, then you would finally, the big payoff with these motherfuckers would be, like, 3 reps. All that fucking rest, all that fucking time, and the motherfucker would do, like, 3 reps. Not even look excited about it, nothing. Fucking, and then his boy would hold the ropes while they talked. I'm just like, these motherfuckers, it's like, this is what they came here for. I almost think that it's just like an agreement the two of them came to, that they're like, all right, we're going to leave here, and we're going to start telling everybody we went to the gym, all right? But if you don't do shit, and I don't do shit, neither one of us could be mad about it, you know what I mean? So we're both going to go, we're going to back up each other's story. We went to the gym when we got it in, you know what I mean? Like, we went there, we were unstoppable, and I'll vouch for you, and you vouch for me. We'll tell every fucking body. We get it fucking done in the gym. You should have seen this guy. Oh, no, you should have seen this guy. Like, I think they must have a whole rap when they leave that fucking gym. And it's their little secret that they just holding the rope, fucking looking into each other's eyes and shit, like fucking, like their boyfriends. And I'm just like fucking livid, dude, because, you know, you get that adrenaline going, you start, you know, getting some shit done, you want to do this, your next stop is this, and, like, you know, you got the fucking, Monday, I was fucking super hyped, just being back at the gym, too, so I'm doing the different things I'm doing, and I got great diggers in the headphones, I'm like, fucking, I'm just amped, so I'm just, like, pacing, like, mumbling to myself, like, I can't believe these motherfuckers are still chatting in each other, you know, staring each other in the eyes and shit, I'm like, this is some shit. So finally I get, you know, they finally walk off and do whatever the fuck. And motherfuckers is probably sharing a water bottle and shit. God damn it. You know, they finally go out of there, do my thing there. And then, like, the last set of motherfuckers is I go over, I do the majority of my ab stuff. Like, I hit the ab machines and stuff like that, but the majority of ab stuff I do is floor exercise. Like, I do a lot of, like, planking stuff, and then they, like, variations of planks, like, you know, whatever they call that, like, the broken table plank shit. And then, like, you know, like, one arm, one leg on the one side, and then, you know, the other side, and then, like, holding weights while you're doing it, and, you know, all sorts of shit like that, like, a bunch of different shit, but usually, like, a half-hour, like, floor routine ab shit or whatever. So I go over there, walk over there, do that, and all the mats are full, which is fine, motherfuckers, you know, do what you gotta do, but then I look, and these two bitches are having, like, a fucking book club meeting and shit. Fucking legs folded, fucking, you know, sitting fucking Indian style, fucking just leaning in, like, towards each other on their little individual mats and shit, and chatting and laughing, fucking looking like they're, that's the only reason they're there and shit. I'm surprised they didn't have, like, juice boxes and shit, because it looked like story time. These motherfuckers is, like, passing their phone back and forth to fucking look at pictures on their phone and shit like this. And I'm just, again, man, I'm, you know, you're doing what you got to do, man. Take all the time you want. That shit ain't my gym, you know. You fucking do your thing. I'm completely courteous that way. But if motherfuckers is absolutely blatantly not doing a fucking thing, man, I'm huffing and puffing, pacing and looking at these motherfuckers. Eventually, you know, they see that you're fucking staring at them waiting and shit. So eventually they got up, you know, and kind of like fucking stormed off like, oh, can't even hang out. Like, these motherfuckers, man. But it was just, like, one after another, and it just amazing, like, the audacity of these motherfuckers. It wasn't even subtle. Like, none of the three of them were just subtle like this. All they came there for was just, like, I need a place to chill, and there's nowhere else in the world. And this was just the joy for them, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, Monday and Tuesday, I did my thing. Feeling great about it. So I'm back at it tomorrow, same thing. And then, yeah, I'll go again Friday. So, you know, I'll at least get the 4 days in this week. And hopefully Saturday, I think, is supposed to be really nice. So Saturday night, hopefully, I'll get out there and go for a run and shit. And, you know, maybe put in some time. I haven't put in any, like, distant runs on my new shoes yet. So, you know, hopefully I'll be able to do that. But, you know, one day at a time, I'll see what goes on. So that's that. What else did I have to talk about? Another thing, you know, I thought about, and I actually, on Sunday, I helped a friend move and shit for free. You know, just, you know, he was moving from shit. So I had to move. You know, his whole belongings pretty much, like, from his house to a storage joint, because where he's moving, he pretty much can't take none of his shit. And then in a couple of weeks, he's going to move again, which I'm sure I'll be helping him with. So it's a lot of fun and no payoff. But, you know, I'm a good friend. I could at least put it out there, like, I'm there for my fucking friend. But amongst that, you know, I brought my iPod and I brought, like, the little speaker thing. And I was, you know, just playing some shit, ended up, you know, just on Howard Stern and shit. But before that, I was playing one of the Corollas for him, one of the Corolla shows. And I was playing one of the ones, the more recent ones that Joe Coy was on. And all his bits kill me and shit. There's a bunch of bits that he does on Corolla. There's, he does, you know, that Bungaloo Sue joint where he sings songs and shit. And I actually just did one this past week that was hilarious. I didn't clip it, but... maybe for next week I'll do that. And, you know, I played one of those, and I think that shit's hilarious. Then he does, like, another bit where he does, he plays Brown Sugar, which the way he plays it is as an angry black character being the voice of Brown Sugar, who lives in the spice cabinet, and they're trying to move the Brown Sugar out of the spice cabinet and try, you know, Corolla's trying to explain to him why the brown sugar would be right under the sink, and he's getting super offended why I can't be with the fucking powdered sugar, mother, you know, like, he, I ain't gonna try to do it because it's his bit, but that shit is hilarious, like, and I could never, you know, recreate a comedian's bit better or even the same as what he did, but it's just funny shit. So anyway, listen to this, and I'm like, yo, this shit is fucking funny as hell. So I'm expecting, you know, people who haven't heard shit that, you know, you find pretty funny, normally you hit a couple beats, a couple, you know, punchlines or something like that, and you would expect some kind of laughs, and it's like, this shit is just, like, falling on dead ears, and I'm like, man. So I started thinking about it. I ended up more or less just switching it up, and that's when I put Stern on, because that's, I guess, just easier to connect with, because that, you know, he's going to talk about current events. He's going to talk a little politics. He's going to talk about this. He's going to talk about some music and stuff like that. So something's going to hit because he's all over, you know, different genres and topics and this. So it's not really a specific bit. Yeah, they have some of that stuff too, but it's not as much like a specific bit that you have to be in on. But, you know, he's bound to hit something. So I ended up doing that. But then later on, I think it was like yesterday or the day before, I just started thinking to myself, like, what exactly is it that makes someone, like, not find something as funny as you do? Now, I don't necessarily think that, like, if you really broke that bit down with them or any of the, you know, what you're listening to down, that the dude wouldn't have thought it was funny. But I just started thinking about it, and, like, the thought process of people with, like, entertainment as a whole, pretty much relying on how it's pitched and grasping the audience, you know what I mean? And you could apply this to wrestling, you could apply this to movies, you know, music, anything. If you go into, well, let's even just say a movie. Say a movie has a couple sequels and this and that. You go into that first one, and that one tells a good enough story, and that gives you, your character development is really good. It hooks you in, and you start giving a fuck about what happens. And then the different action scenes go on, and the different things go on. Now you give a fuck, right? So then the sequel comes out, and you're kind of tied in. Now, a movie can have a really good sequel, but someone not seeing the first one might like the sequel, but may not be as invested. You know what I'm saying? Like, without actually connecting with the characters on the initial attempt. Same goes as for, like, an album. Just say even, like, Biggie's first album, right? People go in, they listen to Biggie's whole first album. This is your first exposure to Biggie and this, and he just fucking kills it. You know, top to bottom, that album is fucking bananas, right? Ready to Die. Well, when the next one comes out, it's that much more special because you already had that backstory of being hooked in, knowing that this is the next shit from that dude that blew my mind on the fucking first one. You know what I mean? Like, that, I think, has a lot to do with things. So I don't know if I'm making any sense here, but what I'm trying to say is, like the quality of the product won't matter unless the audience is already in on it. Like, the second and third performance of a bit or an act or a record or a movie, it won't be meaningful to the people who weren't already hooked on the first performance. You know what I mean? Like, if that initial product doesn't connect, 2 through 10 is completely irrelevant. And, I mean, it's maybe, I think it's a little deeper than it sounds, too, because I don't know if it's coming across the same way I thought of it, but it can be pretty profound when it comes down to it, because there's a lot of times that, you know, I've seen it go on in, you know, in wrestling where the guys just aren't getting over and aren't getting over, but the new fans, the fans that just started in that show, don't really have a connection. They don't understand. They can't walk into a venue and just say, hey, this fucking guy did this. They don't have, like, a highlight reel of your past. So a lot of what was accomplished in the past, you can't really rely on that as being something that should, you know, continue to get you over today. I know it's difficult when it comes, especially wrestling-wise, because you can't just, like, you know, blow off a highlight reel every time you get in a ring, but there's got to be some kind of attempt to connect with a new fan and hook them in so that the next time they see you in the ring, and wrestling is probably the hardest overall to do this because, you know, they do have so many different performances to go out there and do. And some people might know your backstop. You can't just continue to do the same match over to get over. But there's got to be a way to connect with a new fan. So now the next time, no matter when they come and see you, they're going to want to see the next time you're out there. And now that they've seen you once, they're going to go, okay, well, this is what I could look forward to, or, you know, this is this. Without doing the same thing. Same thing in a movie. If, you know, someone goes out there and does a great performance and draws you into the character that they're portraying in a movie, you might go, wow, this fucking dude or this chick's, you know, good actor, actress. And then next time they're in a movie, you're going to go, I bet you that, you know, what he's doing or she's doing in that movie there, that's probably going to be really good because I know that person is really good at portraying a role. So, you know, they already sold you on their past performance. Again, same thing. Someone puts out an album, you go, wow, you know, that dude had, you know, great storytelling ability in this song. And rap-wise, he got really great punchlines in this song and shit like that. Came out with a new album or he's on a collab with somebody else. Oh, shit, I got to hear that because I know that motherfucker's going to do it right. Or, you know, rock or anything else, you know, that person got a great voice. Oh, I heard they did a, you know, collaboration with this person, or I heard they got a new album coming out. It's something that you want to see because that first impression is what sold you. You know what I mean? So to me, it's just, I don't know. It just got me thinking because it's like, this is some shit that I find funny. And it's more or less like, I could have just had like that shit that they play, you know, when they do the emergency broadcast system, this is only a test. And it just goes, beep. I could have had that shit on and it would have made no fucking difference to dude. And it wasn't, like I said, I knew it wasn't that, because, you know, we have similar tastes in comedy and, you know, if, you know, a lot of times, you know, he'll hear some shit or I'll hear some shit, and it's laughable to both of us. But the reason why I think this fell on dead ears completely because I was already in on what it was. You more or less had to hear maybe Joe Coy's first time on Corolla and then rolled off of that, and then he would have been looking forward and looking for certain things that were coming out of that second or third or fourth or fifth or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's a different mentality. It's a different way to go into it because you've already got some kind of game plan set up, or you've already got like the groundwork, the you know, the foundation of what you're supposed to be entertained by, and you know what to expect. Where if a guy's just rolling, doing his bits and his comedy and stuff like that, you might not pick it up on the first time around. It just got me thinking, so I just figured I'd go into that just a little bit. Just, you know, I don't have a lot to talk about tonight, but I figured, you know, that covers a lot of ground as far as different entertainment, you know, wrestling. Obviously, there's a lot of wrestling on the show, somewhat. But, you know, wrestling, music, movies, those type of things, it really makes a lot of sense in all the different things. And if you apply it right, I think it could definitely help people. But I don't know. Just babbling because it's something I had thought of and still in time. So anyway, I'm going to play this Cassidy track and I'm going to come back and I'm going to, you know, do a quick review on the CZW show because, like I said, this is probably going to be like an hour to show. So I'll probably play this song, come back, do another half hour on the CZW show, and then I'll wrap it up. Just a quick one. All right? Check it out.
Even Kennedy got shot. Think you big bully? Even Kennedy got shot. This ain't a dance record. This is real hip-hop. Rather eat crumbs with bums than
king. So it's not a thing to do to get shot and them shots to sing. They shot Abe Lincoln, Kennedy, Dr. King, Malcolm X, Biggie, and Tupac when they popped the thing. So yo, you should know if it's goons that want you dead, and they coming for your head when they see you, them shots will ring. Them shells will make you yell with a sound like you opera sing. When the pistol hits you, give you more rounds than a boxing ring. Man, they could give a damn if your chain and watch it blink. All them clothes in the cars that you drove ain't gonna stop a thing. Seriously, this murder rap, I murder cats lyrically. I'm reckless, Papoose might get arrested for conspiracy. You should be scared of me, I'll embarrass you. Listen, if you think you competition, then you tripping like a traveler. Yo. I was a battler, but I made it. So you stragglers to get assassinated, assassinating my character.
You think it can't happen? What? Even Kennedy got shot. Think you untouchable? Even Kennedy got shot. Think you big bully? Even Kennedy got shot. This ain't a dance record, this is real hip hop. I'd rather eat crumbs with bums than steak with snakes. Look me in my eyes, face to face. I hit you on camera, and take the tape. Even Kennedy got shot.
What? I got bullets with rappers' names on them, all loaded up in my black fist. Boy, my clip look like a track list. How you gonna stop me from popping hammers, dropping proper grammar? I'ma tell you like Kanye told Sway. You ain't got the answer. Big gun like the Terminator searching for Sarah Connor. Gangsters moving silent just like the J in marijuana. I pack a weapon, a grown man with underage guns. My Tech 9 and my Mac 11, I'm a pinpoint particular. Penmanship distributor, period on the end of a paragraph finisher. Always been the grind of my work, driving vehicular. Homicide with the horsepower of six cylinders. Drowning your own blood, die slow, you deserve it. You can suck a big fat dick, swallow, slurp it and burp it. You a serpent of the devil, you serpent, don't want your service. Cause you rather serve swine instead of serving a purpose.
You think it can't happen? Even Kennedy got shot. Think you untouchable? Even Kennedy got shot. Think you big bully? Even Kennedy got shot. This ain't a dance record, this is real hip hop. I'd rather eat crumbs with bums than steaks with snakes. Look me in my eyes, face to face. I hit you on camera, and take the tape. Even Kennedy got shot. Stay in your place.
I'm getting it in. John asked for a certain amount of money and said, "You're hot." Put him in his mouth. Like, I threw up on myself. This is what I want CZW to be, and basically how what I want to do in the future. I mean, basically, I want to be the buffet table of professional wrestling.
Yeah. So going into this, this was high stakes. This actually took me three sittings to watch. I did not watch it live. The one day, I want to say Monday night, something along those lines, I watched Caleb Conley versus Alexander James. Did that, I had to turn it off and move on with life, and that was that. I really can't stand Alexander James. He reminds me of Chris Hero if you removed all the talent. I just don't see any value in that dude at all. So that was that. So the next time I turned it on, I got to see Joe Gacy versus Tommy Dreamer. Now, this is the thing. I had really started to put Gacy over, and I said it going into this. I mean, let me just preface this whole CZW review with saying that I hated this show before I watched it. I don't really know the perfect way to phrase it, but I can't put this show over. I watched this, and I can only review it somewhat of as like a bitter asshole. I just put it that way, I guess, because I really didn't give this show a lot of leeway. I really wasn't looking for a lot of it to go well because the booking was just fucking horrendous as far as I'm concerned. There were a couple, highlights and stuff, and I'll definitely, mention those as well as I go, but this is not the way that I review every CZW show. This is not, there's Jay burying the fucking show again. That's really not – I wouldn't be going back in April if I felt that way. I really wouldn't. However – I feel like they more or less put on their normal January show in March this year. So Let me go back into it. Joe Gacy, like I said, I started to put him over a lot, and I really feel that he works best in with the smaller guys. Even when he worked Strickland, that worked really well. When he worked in that, whatever it was, four-man, six-man, that worked really well. And there's a lot of those things that he could do that I think are will kind of surprise you and show you what he can do athletically, which I think is pretty vast for a guy his size. You put him in there also with a guy that's smaller than him, he can also use that power aspect and pretty much use that as most of his character as being the bigger guy, and then be able to keep pace with the faster, smaller guy with spots that'll kind of shock you and definitely draw the crowd in because they're seeing like, oh, shit, you see what he just pulled out? So, but my theory was and still is, if you put him in there with a guy like Tremont, who they put him in with for most of last year, it gives him zero room to shine because all he can really do is brawl. You can't do a lot of manhandling another guy because, you know, he's just as big, if not bigger than you. And, I mean, he's not going to be the power guy. He's not going to be the bigger guy. And, I mean, that if that really limits you to making Gacy just do athletic things, well, I think that's a ridiculous look for his character. You know what I mean? Like, that really, really limits what he's going to look like in the ring. And for him to only do things of that caliber, you know, would make it look stupid. And honestly, he didn't. He just kept it to brawling and stuff like that. So, I mean, good on that. But as far as I was concerned, none of those matches were worth shit. There was a lot of them that Tremont just fucking bumped and bumped and bumped and just murdered himself all over the ring. But that was the beginning and end of how those matches went. So to me, they never made sense. And it was a really, really good way to bury both characters because Tremont was coming off his big fucking, his big role. And, according to DJ on his shoot interview, he pretty much dropped fucking Tremont on the card. Now he'll also, you know, try to contribute, Tremont's, you know, health scare and this and that, but let's not get it fucked up. His health scare happened in the fucking summer. So his health scare happened in the summer. We're talking January to fucking, you know, summertime. That's over half the year. But anyway, he contributed pretty much taking the focus off of him or like a deep push. He contributed that to a horrible, as he said, a horrible match with Tommy Dreamer. And pretty much went on to say, if you could have a horrible match with Tommy Dreamer, then clearly you're not ready. And if Dreamer was upset about it, then that speaks volumes, and he was just too green, and blah, 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 blah. Going on the same shooter interview saying, oh, Joe Gacy is so underused. And turning around saying, well, I wanted Tremont to help give Gacy a push. Well, then why would you use the guy who you just finished calling green to give a guy a push that you say is underused? Huh. Doesn't make any fucking sense. So, fast forward to now, where Gacy seems to be on some sort of roll where he's having good matches with Strickland. He had that match at Cage of Death that was good, you know, standout type thing. And then you put him up against Greg Excellent, which, hey, nothing wrong with Greg, but going the direction of showing what he could do and having him in there with smaller guys and everybody, go, you know, kind of opening their eyes going, oh, look at this. They're kind of pointlessly putting him in with Greg Excellent. That was a space filler. They were still doing the Greg Excellent Pepper Parks thing. So it was just kind of a space filler to, like, you know, get to the next shows where they can continue the same thing that they were doing. It was just a way to give both of those guys bookings, but didn't have any real point behind it. I don't fucking think so. So I brought it back to the brawling, this and that. Then we go, and I could be chronologically wrong with the way that this went. Strickland might have been after that. I don't know. But that one went really well, the Strickland one. Just the point I'm trying to make there. So, March, they put him up against Tommy Dreamer. Well, I thought the match was fucking horrendous. I'll go out on a limb and say this. fucking hands down, I never need to see another Tommy Dreamer match in my entire fucking life. Ever. Now, I'll give you that Tommy Dreamer was one of the biggest names in ECW. He had a lot to do with ECW's identity. And, you know, the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and a feud that he had with Raven, and there was a lot of different things that Tommy Dreamer did in ECW that he was obviously a main player. He was a mainstay character. He was a main player. I've had it with the rehashing of fucking ECW. It is fucking so done and over with. This is 2014. Fucking indie wrestlers whose careers are pretty long at this point that are, you know, they're going into over a decade in the business and this and that, and they weren't fucking wrestling yet when fucking ECW went out of business. So, I mean, it should be a little bit of a fucking hint that, like, yeah, maybe we could stop fucking rehashing this. I don't know. And me, personally, like I said, giving Dreamer his due for, you know, what it was with ECW. I personally never, ever watched fucking ECW for Tommy Dreamer, never watched ECW for Balls Mahoney or Axel Rotten, never watched fucking ECW for The Sandman. Ever. Ever. I watched that shit for guys like Rob Van Dam, guys like Sabu, you're super crazy, you're Tajiri's, those type of guys. You know what I mean? And the list goes on and on. I'm not limited to those guys, but those type of guys, the athletic guys, guys who were pushing the limits, and there were so many guys that fucking that did it that way. And that was the type of shit that I liked. And, you know, it is what it is. But to me, even those guys, that's not what I'm fucking dying. I'm not dying to see super crazy in the main event of a card right now. I know that those guys laid the groundwork for a lot of other guys that can do the same style to the next level. I mean, look at what fucking N.A.R. Fox can do, or, you know, Samory Del Sol, or, like, Cachet. Look what he's doing in the ring. He's the next level of what Super Crazy was doing back then. And, you know, there's guys that fill those spots and kind of, you know, they don't have to be an exact replica of the guy or anything like that, but they are the next generation of the style that attracted people within ECW. Now let's move the fuck on to those people. Stop taking these fucking spots up with the people that you remembered and shit. Like, you don't need to keep digging people up and going, hey, remember this guy? Let's fucking chant for that company. I know it's over a decade ago that it's been gone, but how many times does Tommy Dreamer need to walk out and you fucking people to pop for him and chant ECW? Like, now it's back. It's fucking, there he is, man. Stop it. It's fucking over. It's been over longer than it had fucking life. ECW has been gone probably, what, 2 or 3 times the length of the entire company? Seriously. I mean, at least double the length of that company's life, it's already been gone. Can we get over it? I mean, for Christ's sakes. But, you know, Tommy Dreamer is banged up, and Tommy Dreamer is fucking older. That's something I really would love people to actually understand, and I would love the people who understand it be the fucking bookers and the owners of the companies like DJ Hyde. People go out of their way, people like DJ, once they own the company, they mark out for the guys who they used to mark out for, and they book them on the fucking card, and they praise them, and oh my God, I can't believe I'm booking Tommy Dreamer's working for me. I there's got to be just like a giant mark that in the promoters that's doing that. It's not like these are the best guys for the fucking card right now. No. That's not what it is at all. And CZW, as far as what it was built off of, it was never built off of putting a name on the top of the card and then putting an undercard under it. That's a Frank Goodman show. That's not been CZW. CZW's identity was not, and you know, they would bring in your Super Crazy, your Tajiri's, like those guys. They didn't just fucking put balls at the top of the card and go, okay, fucking, you know, now everybody come and see balls, and then other guys you'll be really impressed by. No, they tried to make their own fucking stars. And they would bring in other guys to compliment what else was going on, but that wasn't, like, your mainstay. If you're really, really grasping at straws and thinking that Tommy Dreamer is what's going to bring people in, then, dude, give it a fucking rest. I mean, how many times are we going to have to book this fucking guy for you to satisfy that fucking urge? What is it? He's helping you out with the Fed because maybe you're doing something to fucking help him with the whatever, fucking hardcore or whatever the fuck it is? It just doesn't make any sense. There's no amount of times that I need to see the fucking, now I'm going to put a chair in front of the guy who's in the tree of woe position in the corner. Now I'm going to do the slowest jog to the opposite corner and jog back and stop and fucking drop kick the chair. Oh, that spot was innovative. Oh, boy. Innovator of violence. That's a fantastic thing to be called when you do the same fucking thing for the next 20 years. So, listen, like I said, give the guy his due for what it was, but let's stop expecting your fucking talent to have five-star matches with Tommy fucking Dreamer, because it's not going to happen. Whether you earn his respect and you can go, my guy, Tommy said he liked him. Like, stop being a fucking mark. Stop it. You know what I mean? People love fucking, especially DJ. I don't know how many fucking times he had to say Mark all over his fucking shoot interview. But never thinks of himself as one for one fucking minute when he's got to book Tommy Dreamer and then judge his talent as according to how they wrestle Tommy Dreamer, for fuck's sake. So anyway, there was that. Didn't like the fucking match, didn't expect to, ridiculous booking. Now, hopefully we can move on to that, putting him in something, especially when you go, Joe Gacy's the worst booked fucking wrestler. Stop telling me anybody in your Fed is the worst booked anything if you're booking it. Fucking shit. So anyway, the next match was Timothy Thatcher versus Dalton Castle. I never heard of either one of these guys. Timothy Thatcher is going to be going into Best of the Best. You know, I had heard all different, you know, internet buzz about he's good as this and this and this. Maybe I'm going to have to see him again, and I'll see him, you know, in person at Best of the Best. But this match was horrendous, too. A lot I don't understand about just someone who's based as, like, a submission wrestler. I don't really understand that in the world of professional wrestling too much. Some things, like, you know, I see that work. I mean, Drew Gulak is able to do that type of thing, but he uses a lot of psychology to it. He uses a lot of, like, wearing the guy down. And, you know, he does it where he works a body part, and it seems like he's really trying to, you know, eliminate part of another guy's offense and wear him down and systematically break the guy down. So it makes sense, and obviously technical wrestlers are nothing new to professional wrestling. I'm just saying, using Drew as an example. And then as far as, like, other, you know, submission grappler type wrestlers, I've seen people like Nigel McGuinness, and I've seen people like Alex Shelley do it very creatively. Like, I liked their style of submission wrestling because they had these really creative ways of getting out of other people's holds, and it for whatever reason, the way that they were able to do it stayed exciting, even though they weren't doing, you know, nonstop big head drop moves. It was just a certain style that they worked that I did like it that way, because I'm not a big fan of, you know, slow submission wrestling. But the way that this guy was working, it was weird. It was just fucking weird. And when you work these submissions, like, you really got it locked in and this and that, I kind of think of it more the way that you would look at, like a shoot fight or, you know, a UFC, or, saying I'm not the biggest UFC fan, but if the submissions were really locked in, you'd just be breaking the guy's arm. You would just fucking ending them. So to put guys in submissions after submissions after submissions that you're really torquing and this and that. And, hey, man, a lot of people shit on the fucking constant high spots because that should be killing people too. But if you're locking in a fucking submission and that shit's locked in the way it's supposed to be, you should be able to blow his fucking elbow out. You should be able to blow his knee out. You should be able to fucking collapse his fucking trachea if he doesn't tap out. the match should be over in fucking 3 seconds if the submission is on right, right? I mean, isn't that the way it goes down in UFC? You know, they try to avoid it and they try to slip it or whatever. But when he's got it locked on, it's not just like a fucking, you know, in the middle of the ring and then he crawls over slowly while you have a perfectly fucking locked in submission. You're breaking his fucking arm off, right? So to me, it's just as goofy as fucking the other, you know, head drop shit that people don't like so much. And to me, it's not exciting at all for two guys to lay on the fucking floor and hold each other's arms. It's not fucking cute to me. You know what I mean? That doesn't work for me. And that's why, you know, a lot of people say the same thing about UFC. Like, they're rolling around on the mat like fucking homos. Like, you know, I don't necessarily see it that way. But you know what I mean? Like, if there's not a lot of movement and the guy's just fucking holding his arm and acting like he's breaking it off, but obviously, you know, if you're going to translate it to what you would actually be doing, then the match would be over. It wouldn't be, okay, now he can crawl around the ring while I'm holding his arm or I'm holding this or I'm holding that, you know. Part of it's flawed as far as, you know, that style of wrestler goes. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. I mean, to each their own and everything, but his way of doing it, I didn't buy it at all. Because that seemed like the angle he was working. And then, like, his striking was awkward. It was just choppy and awkward and just strange. It just looked strange. It didn't look like – and I guess he was trying to work it somewhat of, like, a shooting style, so it wasn't as formed. But normally, you know, whether they're, you know, your work punches or whether you're punching a guy in the face like Necro, but there's still somewhat of a rhythm of it that it looks like both guys are in a match. And that – it just didn't flow at all with these two. Like I said, it could completely be a match, and, you know, he could be amazing and fucking best of the best for all I know. So, you know, it's only one match. I'll take it for what it is, but that's just the way I saw it there. I wasn't a fan of it. Beaver Boys went over the front, and, you know, the front debuted Jocko, which I think is an excellent – I think Jock is good. I think he's an excellent addition to CZW. Another talented dude. I guess he's part of the front now, which is good because they actually needed more, you know, actual wrestlers, because it was like you had Niles or Sozio, and then you had, you know, Biff Busick, and the other guys kind of filled in here and there. And everyone's like, oh, I guess Biff's not working. That sucks. At least if you have another guy that can actually be like, you know, legit. Ace Delic, the guy, I think he's been in the company, 10 years or something, and he's worked a couple matches and nothing's memorable, and they just kind of patch him into spots. Most of the time he's just another guy on the side of the ring, and then sometimes they patch him into matches, and I don't know. I don't know exactly what that guy's value. I don't know if he's really underused or if he's just like, you know, the slowest learner in the company or what it is. But I know he's been around for a while. I think he was doing website shit at some point. But, you know, a guy like Jock could come in and actually work, you know, as part of the group and do something that, you know, actually excites fans and stuff. Because, I mean, if you're going to have a faction, there should be more than, you know, one person that's like a big impact guy. So I don't know. But I'm a fan of it. Azriel, Chris Dickinson, OI4K, with Alex Colon, Biff Busick, and Juicy Product. I got to be honest, I missed this match. I'll have to go back and watch it, but partially the booking completely turned me off in the match because I still don't know who the fuck Heelan faced in that match. I guess Azriel's a face, even though they completely ended the previous show with him looking like a heel. So I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it again, but the whole thing was just fucking weird to me. Then they had Masada went up against Mr. Tofiga. I was actually really surprised about this match. I think, honestly, Masada is the first one to actually sell for Mr. Tofiga the way that it should happen. I don't think he's ever been booked or billed as the fucking beast he should be. I mean, if you put a guy of that size in a company that DJ stops calling the heavyweight title the heavyweight title because, or the junior title because people just aren't big enough, you get a guy that big in your fucking company, you should act like he's a fucking immovable force.
You know what I mean? Instead of a guy that just takes a drop kick off an apron every time he's, you know, ringside managing and then he's gone for the match. Like, there should be some kind of fucking fear, you know, storyline-wise of this fucking guy. He's that fucking big. I mean, he's either just going to be a big goon that just fucking stands in the way, or you're going to make him a fucking force, which I think is the only way to book that fucking guy. So, Masada worked this fucking guy like he was one of Masada's hardest fucking challengers. I mean, Masada's a guy who had that fucking world title forever, was battling every fucking buddy, won Tournament of Death a couple times, but he was fighting Mr. Tofiga like it was an intense fucking tremendous challenge. And I couldn't give him fucking any more credit than I am for that, because that's exactly how that fucking guy should be worked. You know what I mean? It really should. You know, Masada was actually forced to be the smaller, more agile guy, won it with a fucking moonsault on a ladder and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it made sense that that's the way it worked, because normally Masada just kills the people he's in the ring with, you know? This was a match that he was in there with a big fucking dude that, wow, he had to pull out other stops, and he had to do what he had to do, but fucking Tofiga was tough, was fucking hard to get by because he's a fucking big fucking dude. You know what I mean? It made sense. So I was really happy with that, with the way that they did that. Then they had, I'm not going to go over fucking promos. Then they had G's up against DJ Hyde. I don't need to see another DJ Hyde match in the history of my life either. In the rest of my life, I don't need to see another DJ Hyde match. He's not a good wrestler. I know he tells himself over and over, and he tells everybody who will listen to him that he's a good wrestler, and he had chemistry with good fucking 15 people in his career. He doesn't. He's not fucking good. And I'm no wrestler or anything like that, so, you know, forgive me if I'm speaking terms that are a little too close to the vest or whatever like that, but, like, in between his moves or whatever he's doing there, like, I guess transition-wise, he's horrible. It looks awkward. He does, like, a lot of stutter-stepping and shit when he's supposed to be, like, going to get a fucking guy. There's a lot of unsurety in his movements. After all these fucking years that he's doing this, it just looks awkward. There's so much to his fucking work that just looks awkward and fucking horrible. Just really fucking bad. He definitely doesn't know how to fucking, you know, capture a crowd or anything like that. He's only worked heel because people don't like him. He said it himself. Not because he's really good at playing a bad guy, because people don't fucking like him. And I still think no matter how bad a fucking worker he is, no matter how fucking much people don't like him, I still think fucking booked right, he could be a face and over. He's got to stop taking himself so fucking seriously, for starters. That's 100%. I mean, that's the majority of the fucking right direction that he needs to go in. He'll face any fucking thing. Stop taking yourself so fucking seriously. Because, I mean, even doing the gimmick where you're, I'm the best professional wrestler in the world, the most powerful, dude, you're starting to believe your own shit. And I don't even want to say starting. I think you've believed it for a long fucking time. It's just, come on, man. Give it a fucking rest and stop taking yourself so seriously. Take your company more seriously than you're taking yourself, because it looks fucking ridiculous. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. And then you bring down other fucking guys now. G's is going to have to come out of this feud with DJ and look like a face, not just look like a guy who was fucking trapped in a fucking feud with DJ. He swears he elevates the shit out of people, but I don't really think that's what he does. I really don't. Tremont got where he was, not because fucking DJ was on the other side of the ring. This fucking guy was taking bumps off the fucking scaffolding, hitting his fucking head on a 2x4 and fucking getting caught in barbed wire and hanging upside down and shit like this. That's fucking, how about giving the fucking credit to the fucking guy who was dying on the other side of the ring rather than putting himself over, DJ? Like, rather than putting yourself over and saying,
I'm the reason Tremont was over. Like, how about he was fucking dying in the fucking ring? Well, that could be maybe some of it. I don't know. But when you're working a feud against a guy who, geez, could work his ass off against many, many different styles of people, what exactly is DJ going to bring to that match that's going to make it work? That feud that's going to make it work? People really don't like me. Yeah, okay. I mean, the feud between Sammy and DJ worked because Sammy would just legit beat the shit out of him. Like, that's what his style was, just kicking him in his fucking face and stiffing the shit out of him. That was Sammy's style, so for that reason, that fucking worked. DJ just seems to think he's got this mastermind chemistry that just connects with everybody, and because he's such a great heel, that he could just make this all work. I personally don't fucking think so. I don't think so at all. So I'm, like, dying for this feud to be over with, and then just see what Jeezy could do with the face turn from there. But I'm hoping that it doesn't just die off and DJ go, well, that didn't work. Let's turn you back heel. Because he hasn't even had a fucking chance unless you put him up against someone else than you. Just because you think you're the ultimate heel of the universe, that doesn't actually mean you are. That just means it's your company, so you can treat it how you want. But it's a ridiculous fucking thing. And fucking DJ's feuding with Jeez, and he's feuding with Dreamer all at the same time, because DJ can't get enough fucking heat. Jesus fucking Christ. So there's that. Then Shane Strickland went in and defeat Devin Moore for the Wired title that we don't know what the identity of is anymore. And I'm all right with that, but my other thing there is, you know, and the match was all right. You know, nothing really wrong with it. It went pretty well. They have a rematch, ladder match at Best of the Best that I think will be crazy. I mean, my one big issue there is you had Shane Strickland feuding with fucking Alex Colon. Had him chasing the title against Alex Colon. You have him lose all the fucking matches, and then you give the belt to Devin Moore to then give the belt to Shane Strickland? Why wouldn't you have the belt change hands with the title chase? I mean, you use Devin as like a transitional champion or whatever, but like I just still don't understand why not finish off the feud with the guy finally getting his win and getting the title that he chased. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I'm not a booker, so, I mean, maybe there's something I'm not getting, but just as a fan, that shit confuses the fuck out of me. You know, it's like, if you didn't want to give him the title, I get it, that's your call, whatever like that, but to avoid it for all that time, move on from that feud, give it to someone who had nothing to fucking do with it, and then give it to the guy who was chasing it with the other guy. What the fuck? And never really even make mention of it. You know what I mean? Like, even, like, try to connect the dots and have fucking Strickland go into the match with Devin, you know, cutting a promo saying, you know, I don't care who's got that belt. I chased that shit through Alex through all this time. And now no matter who has that, you're in my fucking sight. There's a target on your back if you're holding that title, because I want that shit more than anybody else. If you're holding it, know that I'm coming for you. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, you're a good guy, you're a bad guy. I don't care what walk of life you're from. I see you with that belt, I'm coming for you, and something like that. And then he ends up with the title. You're like, oh, I get it, because that dude was so dedicated to that title. That was what it was. But it was just like kind of random matchup. I mean, it wasn't really booked that way. It was just like he fought Tremont, and then he fought Strickland. Alex Colon never got like a return match. Like, he just kind of, like, after all that time, lost the belt, and then was like, all right, we'll fuck that then. And let's move on. I guess, all right. So that's what they did there, which is strange. And then it's funny because apparently the fucking management doesn't talk to the commentators at all. Because then they're going, oh, man, going into Best of the Best, he's going to have so much more momentum now going into that tournament. Oh, man, he's going to have so much fucking momentum going into the Best of the Best. Oh, man. Oh, now he's got the title, and he's going to be in Best of the Best? And it's like, we're not actually putting him in the tournament, so I know he was, you know. Yeah, that's something else there. They got to talk in commentators. They got to leave, some notes, like, hey, let's not hype up him being in best of the best because that's we're not doing that. You know what I mean? That's fucking crazy. So then the obvious match of the night, main event, Drew Gulak beat A.R. Fox. And this shit was crazy. A.R. Fox is a fucking psycho. He's going to die. Like John Zandig would say, you're going to die, fucking. I don't know, man. Like, he's, that dude is takes that high-risk shit to the next level. I mean, he just continually does extremely risky shit. Now, I know he doesn't sell a whole lot. He could probably benefit from doing some more of that in his match and maybe a little less risk. But as far as the entertainment side of things goes, I mean, yeah, that dude takes some serious shit. He, for whatever reason, involved a box of Fruit Loops. And I don't know why that need to be had. And not to harp on it or anything, but I don't see how he doesn't see the irony there. But so anyway, he throws the fucking box of Fruit Loops to Drew in the crowd from the ring and then does like a fucking springboard senton from the fucking ropes over the fucking guardrail. Just nutty shit like RVD did back in the UCW days when he fucking did that shit over the top rope. I think it was on Jerry Lynn or somebody. But when he just dove way the fuck out into the crowd. That's the type of, you know, crazy shit he's doing. If I was watching this live, this match gave you the suspension of disbelief that you didn't know who was going to win. You would have thought that Fox could be winning this title. So it was extremely, extremely well done because that's the way it went. And minus, you know, the AJ match, I wasn't a fan of the AJ match, but Drew has had a really, really good title run. And I think a lot of it comes down to that is because world title matches and title matches in general, obviously you're going to get some of the matches that are going to go across like, clearly this guy's going to win it because, you know, he's the champion, he's stronger, this and that. But the best title matches are usually either A, the ones that the title changes hands after they've had it for a while because it just seems to have that little bit of an extra where the champion gets all his stuff in. And a champion does, you know, his repertoire of things where, you know, he's clicking on all cylinders. He's putting out everything he's got. And the challenger is giving the champ everything he's got. And then, you know, one of the two gets just a little more off in the end in order to get the win. And that, you know, most of the time that comes on a title change because they really want to give each other, you know, they want to give the champion the right amount of shine as well as the guy who's going to be taking the belt. But even better are the title matches where the champion retains, but you don't know that shit, where it can go either way. The match is built to the point where the champion can easily lose at the end of this match, and you wouldn't say, hey, what the fuck? There's no, you know, there's a surprise as far as what the outcome of the match is, but it wouldn't surprise you if it went either way because the match is that evenly matched and storyboarded. And, you know, when you see what's going on out there, you go, man, you know, if Fox won that match, you'd be like, oh, shit, that match was fucking great. Fucking good shit on him. Drew fucking pulls it out. Oh, man, another fucking great, you know, title defense. That's how that match went down for me. It was a great fucking match. I loved it. They did a lot of big shit there. And, you know, that's, like I said, why he's been a really good champion, minus that AJ match. So very, very good there. I think that's about all I got. Like I said, not a whole lot to talk about this week. You know, I'll try to conjure up some more stuff to talk about next week. Tomorrow night, I know I said last week, and, you know, he had some technical difficulties, and he wasn't able to do it last week. But tomorrow night, my boy Mish and Joey are over there doing Wrestling Soup, wrestlingsoup.com. You can check them out tomorrow night, I believe it's 7 o'clock Eastern.
But, you know, check out their website or their Facebook for all the updates there. The Sports Den, I believe, is on live right now still. You can check out all the different things going on. Still NFL trades flying and, you know, all those other sports going on. And obviously, you know, basketball, where we're not too far away from the playoffs. And, man, I still can't get over the amount of just LeBron hate is fucking at its highest. It never ends. The funniest thing that I saw on the internet too, and I posted something about it, but I do have, well, two different things I've posted. One that, you know, he's now expecting his third child from the same woman. And I said, yeah, you know, man, him and his wife are about to have a fucking third child together. Yeah, the internet is right. He's just such a terrible person. You know, just kind of like pointing out, like, you people are fucking ridiculous. And then, you know, the second thing is, you know, a lot of rumors flying is, oh, where is he going to end up next year, this and that. So, you know, someone's saying, oh, fucking, there's a possibility with Phil Jackson over there in New York, he could wind up in New York. Now, hey, believe me, I want LeBron to stay put more than fucking anything. I'm a Heat fan regardless. I want LeBron to stay put. But as bad as it would be for him to leave, I would be in my fucking glory to watch all these cocksucking, hypocritical fucking Knicks fans jump on his dick in a second if he was wearing that fucking jersey. All of a sudden, oh, no, oh, he doesn't flop anymore. The refs aren't even on his side. Oh, LeBron, look how great he is. You watch how fast that fucking jersey sells if that shit happened. Again, I'd hate to see him be a fucking Nick, but there would be the part of me to go, look at these motherfuckers that had nothing but shit to say about him. Look at these motherfuckers. Any team he fucking goes to, if he's got to leave, guaranteed there were fans from that team talking all fucking colors of shit, because that's all that happens on the fucking internet is LeBron this, LeBron that, fucking I can't, anyone but him, I fucking hope he loses, fucking this guy, fuck that guy. Any fucking jersey he shows up with, I'm going to laugh at you fucking people, because you know goddamn well you weren't a fan before that shit happened. So that's just my little bit of like, oh man. Again, hope he resigns, hope he stays, but that possibility is definitely out there. And so, but yeah, like I said, Sports Den, Stern Nation will be on, I believe they do Saturdays. Check them out as well. And, yeah, I think that's about all I got. Let me see. I don't think I have anything else to play either. I'll just, I'll play my outro, and I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
There's a cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.